Well, good afternoon, everyone. Certainly wish Joe well on his as he moves to Chicago and gets married. I want to take a look at a subject today that we don't seem to cover this too often, but I think it's important. And I think the place we'll begin is over in Matthew 13. Now, we've heard what we're about to look at here a lot, but sometimes we could ask ourselves, well, what, why? And so here is, you know, in Matthew, it's the 13th chapter, so it's basically halfway through Matthew, because Matthew is 28 chapters. And Jesus Christ has been getting more and more popular. In fact, we could think about Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, all the various things he did. But he's continually preaching. He's continually healing. And his popularity is rising. And then something happens that if you don't really think about it, you would ask yourself why. But I think we will see as we move on here. So Matthew 13. So here it is. Christ is preaching, teaching, and healing. Just healing. There's all types of examples of him healing. And then in verse 1 of Matthew 13, we see a little bit of a detour from the way things were going. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house, and he sat by the sea. Now, what happened? Great multitudes. Why were the great multitudes? I just mentioned it because he was healing people. He was doing all these miraculous things that no one had done. This is just not normal, what he was doing. It was tremendous, and his popularity was rising. So these multitudes gathered together to him, and he got into a boat, and he sat there, and he was out by the sea, so his voice would carry further. So all these multitudes, they stood on the shore, and they listened to Jesus Christ. And notice what happens. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. Now, what is a parable? Well, if you look, you will not see up until this point, into his 3.5-year ministry, basically, he's not preaching in parables. Maybe a couple little examples, but he's not preaching in parables. And at the very end, when he goes, his death and resurrection, you don't see a lot about parables, but now he's preaching in parables. And you ask yourself, why? And it's very clear because the Bible explains why he's preaching in parables. Now, I looked. If you ever wonder how many parables, I better move back here. You ever wonder how many parables? 35 parables. That's a lot, isn't it? He gave a lot of parables. Now, I just jotted down the definition of parable. It says a literary device using a moral or a spiritual truth that draws analogy from everyday life. So here's Christ beginning to now speak in parables. Now, we're going right back to Matthew 13, so I'd keep your place here. But I'm going to turn over to Mark and just read two verses in Mark. Mark chapter 4. Because I think we really need to spend more time in our study thinking about, well, why was he doing this? And how did Christ teach in this particular way? Okay, Mark 4. And this is where I'm at today. I could turn to Mark 4. I could turn to Matthew 13 where we are. And I believe it's Luke 8. But here is what it says, verse 33 and 34 of Mark 4. It says, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. And without a parable, he didn't speak to them. So everything he was saying now is in parables. And all these people, this large multitude, is there listening to him. And they're excited, and they're healing. He's healing them, and all these things are happening. But it says here in Mark, he only at this particular time spoke in parables. Without a parable, he didn't speak to them. And when they were alone, when the multitudes were gone, he explained all these things to his disciples. Now, these aren't the multitudes now. These are the disciples. So why is he doing this? It's very clear. The Bible explains it. And I think it's a very pivotal thing for all of us to consider because, again, why were there so many people? And the answer is his popularity, the things he was doing, the preaching and the healing and various other things. Of course, he was the Son of God. So sure, he's preaching in parables. And then he makes a comment. I'm just going to read this one verse, and then we're going to go back because we're going to spend most of the remainder of this sermon looking at one of the parables. And what you will find is most parables, Jesus doesn't explain them. Most parables, Jesus doesn't explain them. We are to read it and be able to understand what it says. But this one, a few of the parables he explains. Not most of them, though. So most of them, he just gives this parable, and it's up to the individual to figure out what he's talking about. But notice what he says in Matthew 13 again, just one verse, verse 9. It says, he or she who has ears to hear. If we are able to hear something, let them hear. So if God's opening a person's mind, he wants them to hear what he's saying. So, let's look at this first parable. It's called the parable of the sower. And it's one of the parable that Jesus, quite frankly, explains it. And again, as I've said before, many of the parables he does not explain. He just gives this, and what is it? A parable is a teaching, a moral, a spiritual truth. But notice, I'm going to read, and then we'll go back. I'm going to read verses 3 through 8, this parable of the sower. Parable of the sower. Verse 3, he spoke many things to them in parables, and he said, behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed. Some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured this seed. Second type of seed, some fell by stony places and didn't have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. You know, the first time when we moved back here, we had a garden, and we just got some plots. I mean, it's not that big. The whole thing combines probably the length of this one table. But, well, we just planted seeds and didn't even think about planting. And, man, everything just popped up. We were very impressed. Then they just all withered away. Because we didn't do some things like, we just used Walmart. No, it wasn't Walmart, was it? Lowe's. We just used their dirt and their fertilizer. And we got nothing. But some fell in stony places, you know, not good soil. They sprang up, no depth of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Here's a third type. Some fell among the thorns. The thorns sprang up and choked them. And others, others fell on good ground, good solid dirt, and they yielded a crop. Some of these had 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then he says again, he or she who has ears, hear what I'm saying. Well, how do we know what he's saying? Unless he explains it. He does explain it, this one. But before he explains it, notice what he says to the disciples. This is not to the multitudes. This is to those that are truly following him and learning to be disciples of Jesus Christ. He makes it very clear what he's doing. Look, verse 10. The disciples, not the multitudes, the disciples. And not just the apostles, but the disciples, those that are disciples of following him. They said, why do you speak to them in parables? Well, your first thought was, well, they can understand. That's not why he spoke to them in parables. He explains it right here. Notice. So why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, to who? The disciples. Well, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. But to them, to the multitudes, it has not been given. They don't understand what he's talking about. Now, there are various reasons for that, but he wants the disciples to understand what he's preaching. He wants the disciples to understand what he's teaching. But it's not for the multitudes. Their time will be later when they are having their minds opened. And then he says, he continues here, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And he or she will have abundance. But whoever doesn't have, even what they have will be taken away. So these multitudes, they're out there following him because of all he was doing. He says even what they have is going to be taken away because they weren't his disciples. Therefore, he says, and he continues here, look, therefore I speak to them in parables. And then he explains clearly, because seeing, they're not going to see. They're going to hear the words, but they're not going to see. They're not going to understand what he's saying. And seeing, well, I just said, and seeing, they don't see. And hearing, it goes into their hearing. They hear it, but they're not going to hear. They're not going to understand, he says. They're going to hear all these words, these parables he's teaching, but they're not going to understand it. And what did he say just before, verse 11? It says, talking to these disciples, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but not to them at this particular time. Therefore, I just read, I speak to them in parables, seeing they're not going to see. They may see it, but they're not going to really understand it. They hear it, they're not going to understand what he's saying. And then he quotes a prophecy from Isaiah. He says, and then the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And what does the prophecy of Isaiah say? That all these people are going to understand? No, he clearly says just the opposite. Notice, hearing, you're going to hear, disciples. And these people are going to hear, but they're not going to understand. And seeing, they'll see, but they're not going to perceive. They're not going to really understand what it's saying. And why? He says, for the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. They don't want to hear it all. Their eyes are closed. Because if they weren't closed, they would see with their eyes, they would hear with their ears. And they would understand with their heart. And then they would turn. And then I would have healed them. Well, he's healing a lot of people of physical illnesses. But I think in many ways, Jesus is talking about healing their mind, healing their understanding. And then he's continuing talking to his disciples here. He says, but blessed are your eyes, because you see, disciples, and blessed are your ears, for you hear. Well, everybody heard the words. Everybody saw him. But only the disciples were understanding. And then verse 17, he says, for assuredly I say to you that many prophets and many righteous men and women desired what you see, disciples, but they didn't see it. Wasn't their time yet. And they wanted to hear what you hear. But they didn't really hear it. They didn't really comprehend it, perceive it. And then he explains this parable. Again, there are 35 parables that Jesus Christ gave. Some he explained, many he didn't. And quite frankly, some are rather hard to understand. You have to think about it and look into it and build blocks. So we're going to look, if you want to title this sermon, it's the parable of the sower. Because I want to take a look at this parable. The remainder of the time here, it won't be long, but it's now going to go back and read the the parable again before I go where Christ said to explain it. But you're back looking back at verse 3, Matthew 13. He spoke to them many parables. He said that there was a sower. He went out to sow. This person sowed, and some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. That was point number one. Point number two, some fell in the stony places where they didn't have much earth. They immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, it scorched, and since there was no root, they just withered away. And then the third area were those who fell among the thorns. The thorns sprang up, choked them, and others fell on good ground, yielded a crop, some 100, 60, 30. He or she who has ears, let them hear. Well, how would we know what he's talking about if he didn't explain it? And then he explains this particular parable, which should help a person begin to understand what he's telling us. So he's going to explain a parable to his disciples, those who were given the opportunity to understand. So that first seed that fell by the wayside, and that would be, fell by the wayside, the birds came and devoured them. And verse 18, here we see the explanation. And the reason I wanted to go through this today, because Jesus spoke a period in his ministry almost exclusively in parables. And again, you could go back and see the first part of his ministry, not much of any parables. In the very end, not much parables. But right now, he's teaching parables, and he's developing true disciples. Not just the multitudes, but people that really are serious and are understanding. So he's telling these disciples, verse 19, when anyone hears the words of the kingdom. So didn't say that before he's just throwing out seed. Now Christ is going to explain to us, if a person hears the words of the kingdom, and if they don't understand it, well, then the wicked one comes and just snatches it away. What was sown in the heart, that's the seed that was sown by the wayside. You know, I mean, every one of us can look at our life, whether we're young, old, or in between, and see how, you know, look at our life and things. But I grew up in a Protestant church, Eastwood Christian Church in Nashville, Tennessee, with my family. We would go to church every week. I think I was 14 or 15, and a couple of my cousins were going to get baptized. So I thought, well, I guess I should get baptized. Didn't really know why, but it just seemed like, oh, it wasn't a bad thing. I just thought, well, I guess I need to get baptized. And I remember my mother was so excited that I was going to be baptized. My father didn't say too much, but my mother was so excited. So I remember still going up there at church, and I think we put up some kind of a white robe or something on, and they immersed us, which is the proper way of baptism. But I didn't understand baptism. But how many people hear, you know, the Bible's probably the largest selling book in the world. How many people even read it? How many people that read the Bible really read it? How many people even read it? Or how many people have just read the Bible through from start to finish? You know, and as you come to understand the Bible and see what it says, wow, you come up with the books that are your favorite books. Everybody's going to have favorite books. You know, I look at myself, my favorite one is in the Old Testament would have to be Genesis. And in the New Testament, they're right together, John, Acts, and Romans. Doesn't mean all the others aren't just as important, but we have areas that we like. But how many people hear the words of the kingdom, they don't understand it, they just go on their way as if it never really happened? That's the first type of seed that Christ is talking about. Now then, we see verse 20 talks about the second type of seed. It says, he or she, of course, who received the seeds in stony places. This is the person who hears the words, and notice, immediately they receive it with joy. It's like they're saying, wow, I didn't see this. I didn't know this. Wow, I wouldn't mention their name. You would know the person, but I might mention their name. But a man and his wife, pastors for years, had been in the church for many, many years. And I asked them one day, we were having lunch with them. It's not in here, it was in another state even. But, you know, you see all the stuff that happens in the world. You see all the stuff that happens where you go to church. You see how people get offended. You see all the things that happen, and oftentimes we're offended for because we aren't treated right sometimes. Is anybody that's not been offensive? Well, I certainly know I have, but don't raise your hand. But I asked this man and his wife once, two of the finest people I've ever met. I said, I know you shouldn't leave the church. When I say the church, you know, God's church, not a United Church of God per se, but the church of God, the true church, you know, those that are teaching the truth. I said, do you understand why people just get discouraged and just leave? You know what he said? He said, Stan, I'll say his wife's name is Penny. It wasn't. I said, Stan, Penny and I wouldn't lasted 2 weeks if we didn't know this was the truth. Because you don't get the truth, you're going to get offended. We all do. And sometimes we're rightly offended because of the way people treat us, is it not? But this is that second area. A person receives the seed in stony places, and he hears the word, and he's joyful that they hear it. Yet, that person has no root in themselves. They only endure for a little while. For when tribulation, persecution arises, notice, because of the word, because of the truth. When persecution, tribulation arise because of the truth, the word, immediately this person stumbles. Now, when I was attending, you know, as a kid in Protestant church, and I never hardly knew what was going on. Although I knew I should go to church, I thought, and I had a good family. But one time, and again, I always remember this, they had revival. And don't take this wrong, but there are all these people that particular night, and there were no seats. So my cousin and I had to sit on the very first row. And here's this minister up there speaking. And I'm not saying he had everything right. He didn't. But I thought, wow, this is the first time I ever really listened to what was going on. Because it's kind of a captive audience. And I remember thinking, you know, this is pretty interesting. I think God was, in a way, you know, trying to tell me some things. I didn't know much of what was going on, didn't really do a whole lot with it for a while. But it seems like I didn't really understand, but I was seeing some things. But yet, and I went away to college, University of Tennessee, and I still thought about it, but really, it was good to hear it, but I really didn't do anything with it. I'd say that would classify many people in this society and world that you could say receive the seed in the stony places. Then the third group, in verse 22, now he or she who receives the seed among the thorns is he or she who hears the word, they're hearing the truth, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and eventually it becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful. They just fade away over time. They just don't continue. Now, I remember so clearly, I can think of so many examples, but I remember once, night to be observed, you know, after the Passover, we'd get together groups for the night to be observed for dinner, and And a lot of times we do it here, but different places. And I remember I was attending, this is when I was in church, and I was attending church, and I was baptized. And but there was a man that was in Nashville. There was like a huge, a really large, not huge, but a large congregation. And this one lady, a deaconess, asked me if we could have this one gentleman who didn't have a place to go for the night to be remembered to come to our house. And I was very happy he came. And but I didn't know the man. I'd never spent any time. That's my fault, not his. But I remember that particular night him talking about the fact that he was dating this woman, and she told him that if he wanted to marry her, he had to quit attending this church. Now, she probably didn't know. I think it's weird sometimes, but it happens. And he said, and I remember right at the end of the night, he said, "I'm really happy that I got to come over here and spend time with some other members, and it really made me think." And I saw him the next day at church, and I never saw him again. So I don't know what happened to him. I don't even remember his name. But he just the thorns just kind of took him, and just too much for him. Again, none of us are worthy to be in the kingdom of God. And none of us are the finished product. But this particular man, just too hard. And I remember one of my good friends, he grew up in the church back years ago, and he there were heresy came in, things were being said that were not true, were not in the Bible, and you know how that goes. And he fell for it. He fell for it. And he was gone, and he was going to move. And he asked me, for whatever reason, if I would help them move. So I went over there, you know, they were getting a U-Haul and all this to move. And what I always remember is all the people there were the ones that, quite frankly, weren't there anymore. They're doing their own thing. And I thought, why would he want me to help him move? And then he asked me, not that I'm so hot, but he asked me if I would ride with him in his car over to their new house. I was glad to, and he started talking about things. And he made a comment that I'll never forget, because heresy, people were saying, oh, you don't have to keep the Sabbath, all these things, all this stuff. And he made a comment. He said, "Stan, if we all would just quit worrying about doctrine, we could all get along so much better." And I thought, that's the most ridiculous, stupid thing. I wanted to say, that is totally stupid. Why would we even go to church if it wasn't for doctrine? But I didn't. I held my tongue. But if we just quit worrying about doctrine, we could get along so much better. Then we have the fourth area. Verse 23. He or she who receives a seed on good ground. Again, here are the disciples. He or she who hears, gets the seed on good ground, and hears the word, and notice, and understands it. They understand it. Do we have perfect understanding? Of course not, but growing in understanding, beginning to see what the Bible says, and growing in understanding. It says, and they bear fruit, and they produce some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, but they're all producing fruit. They're all producing fruit. You know, over the years, you know, as I was a pastor, I would get so many contacts of people that would say they'd like to come to church, and, usually they wouldn't even come. And I never really understood. I didn't think we're that scary, but all these different. I remember a girl I used to work with, and she was a Seventh-day Adventist, and I had another job and not the same place that she worked. And I remember her calling me up one time and saying, "Stan, my family and I want to start attending your church." I thought, well, that's good. That's nice. But I said, well, any particular reason? And she said, yes, we have a new minister and we don't like him. And you like me? May not like me if you're around me a lot. Don't answer that. but I thought, what a reason to go to church. I had one of my really good friends I used to work with. His name was John. And we were at a University of Tennessee basketball game once. John wasn't religious, really. And John had just gotten married a while back. And John says, Stan, you know, I need to get some religion in my life. He says, I'm thinking about going to your church. Well, great, but John, why would you want to go? Is there a reason? No, I just want to get along. Think I need a little religion. Christ spoke in parables. This one he explains. You know, there are people that don't really get it at all. There are people that kind of get a little bit. There are people that really don't want to grow. And then there's people that grow for whatever area, some really a lot, some a little bit, but they're still Christians. They want to grow. It goes by looking at two or three verses. John chapter 6. Jesus spoke in parables. And the reason he spoke in parables were those who were his disciples would understand it. But yet it takes time to understand it, doesn't it? You don't just automatically understand everything, because it's probably not best to understand something if you're not willing to be committed to it. John 6, verse 44, very, very familiar scripture. No one can come to me, and Jesus Christ is speaking here, unless the Father who sent me draws that person. God has to call that person. You don't just, like my friend John, say, oh, I need a little religion, I think I'll come to your church. You've got to be called. Doesn't make you better as far as smarter, but God has to call a person and let them see it. And they'll raise that person up at the last day. Well, they're not. But then over in Hebrews, it says something to all of us as we grow in our life. Again, no one even comes close to the measure and the stature of Jesus Christ. Look at his apostles, his top men, I guess you could say. They were all over the place because it took them time to understand, and they grew over time. But here's the book of Hebrews. It's very clear to those that get the word and understand the word and are growing in the word and striving to be like Christ, even though we fall far short. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. The truth that's in the Bible. That's what we need to put the earnest heed to, what the Bible says. We must give more earnest heed to the things we've heard, or we could drift away. He's speaking to Christians here, is he not? For if the word spoken through angels, remember the Ten Commandments spoken with God, the Word of God, and angels were there, and angels have spoken numerous times in the Bible. If the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, if that happened, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Just like my friend and his wife said, we would have left in 2 weeks. First time somebody offended us. If we didn't believe this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, Jesus Christ spoke it, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. The apostles then wrote, and we see letters in the Bible written, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. God gave the truth. Let's close by turning to Luke 8. And Luke 8 is another chapter that explains the parable of the sower. And if you read the parable of the sower, you can see it in Mark 4, Matthew 13, and Luke 8. And they're all the same, but with little bit of differences. You can see it when you read them. That's why it's good to have like a harmony of the gospel sometime. But notice, verse 15, the very end of it here, it says, the one, the seeds that fell in the good ground of those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, say it didn't say that in Matthew, but a noble and a good heart, they want to be more like what Christ wants us to be. Not perfect, but wants to grow. And they bear fruit with patience over time. And then he reads verse 16, 17, and 18. I'll close here. Christ said, right after he explained this parable, no one who has lit a lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed. Why put a lamp where it's not going to bring light? But he sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light, where you could see. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, and anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Again, our sins, Christ died for our sins, mankind's sins. But this isn't a game. Therefore, Jesus Christ said, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to that person more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what they have. In fact, my Bible says even what he seems to have will be taken from them. So Jesus Christ spoke in parables. He wants his disciples, he wants those that are striving to be like him, knowing that they can't do it on their own. They don't have the ability. Who's going to resurrect themselves? You know, I was asked to do a funeral up in Corbin, Kentucky, week before last. So I had to drive up there, and Penny had to work. I got off work, and I drove up there by myself, and I got to see a number of people from a congregation. I used to be the pastor. And I looked at those people, and they're out there. They know they're not perfect. They know they got flaws. And so did the lady that died, that she had in her funeral plans had asked them to ask me to do the funeral, and I was glad to do it. She wasn't perfect, but I was honored to be able to go up there. God speaks in parables. And as we read and study and think about what those parables mean, it will help us as we grow in our Christian life.